What does God want to give you? God wants to give you mercy and forgiveness. And it's interesting because in this story, what happens? This king's son dies because of his rebellion. But don't miss the picture and the parallels, because in the New Testament, what happened? The king's son died because of our rebellion. Jesus never rebelled. Jesus even went to the garden and said, "Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to go to the cross. But not my will, but yours be done."
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today in the studio, we have one of David's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be here. We want to take a minute to pray for some cities in our listening audience. Hope everyone prays with me. Holbrook, Payson, Pine Top, Winslow, Yuma, Arizona, Bentonville, Fayetteville, Arkansas. God, we pray that many in these cities would tune in and listen today. God, we pray that if some are under the weather, sick, not feeling well, that you would heal them, God, for your glory. Lord, we also pray that some would give their lives to you, receive your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. We pray that these cities would get excited about following you, and the churches would fill up, and you give the pastors wisdom and discernment on how to expound upon your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor D.A., and we appreciate your prayers. And if you are in one of the cities he mentioned or anywhere else in the country, please feel free to contact us and tell us what God is doing in your life. Now, today, as we're going into the teaching, it's a very sad time for King David, and there's some very important lessons that we can learn in life. D.A., can you share some of that with us?
Hey, Bob. Today, Pastor David is going to remind us that God is full of mercy, grace, and compassion, and we have the opportunity to share that with others.
That's definitely something all of us can use. So let's just jump in as David McGee continues sharing verse by verse, finishing up 2 Samuel chapter 18.
We're going to pick it up, 2 Samuel chapter 18. And it says, "And David numbered the people who were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Then David sent out 1/3 of the people under the hand of Joab, 1/3 under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and 1/3 under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, 'I also will surely go out with you myself.' But the people answered, 'You shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city.' Then the king said to them, 'Whatever seems best to you, I will do.' So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands." Verse 5. "Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, 'Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom.' And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. And the people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place that day. For the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured." Verse 9. "Then Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode on a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree, and his head caught in a terebinth, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth. And the mule which was under him went on." This is an interesting verse. And you may remember there was a verse prior that talked about Absalom had a lot of pride about his hair. So that's kind of interesting that it was his point of pride that snagged him. And we have the verse that talks about the, you know, pride comes before the fall. And this verse is so rich in pictures. Because let's look at something. Absalom was on a mule. A mule, if you remember, Jesus came into town, the triumphant entry, riding on a mule. And that was the day his kingship, as it were, was announced. Why? Well, in part because of what he was riding on. So it was, I know we don't think of a mule as a royal animal, but it is. So it's interesting that Absalom is on this mule, but in his rebellion, he loses his seat on this mule. Because there's a picture going on. He's prince. He could very well be destined to be king at this point, but because of his rebellion, he's going to lose that authority. He is going to lose that princeness, if you will, through his rebellion. Verse 10, "Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, 'I just saw Absalom hanging in a terebinth tree.' So Joab said to the man who told him, "You just saw him. Why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt." But the man said to Joab, "Though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life. For there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me.'" So the guy's saying, "You know, even if I'd have done that, I would have come back to you. You probably would have killed me for it. And now you're asking me why I didn't do it." Then Joab said, "I cannot linger with you." And he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree. And 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. Now let's notice something. Joab is the first to strike Absalom. Now he knows that he was not supposed to do this, but he did it anyway. And notice what happens. The other men that are with Joab enter into the thing with him. We need to recognize something. When a person is a leader, there's more of a responsibility to be careful in submitting yourself to God. Why? Because if someone falls, it's always a bad thing. But if a leader leads other people astray, it's not just him, it's those other people. And we see Joab leading these other people into something that the king said not to do. Now, was it the right thing to do? You know, you can build a pretty strong case for it was the right thing to do. Because Absalom is at war with David. Joab understands that while both of them are alive, there's going to be a war. And Joab realizes the moment one of them dies that the battle's over. So we can come up with reasons why Joab did this. But still, David had spoken and given a command. Verse 16, "So Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a large pit in the woods and laid a very large heap of stones over him. Then all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, 'I have no son to keep my name in remembrance.' He called the pillar after his own name. And to this day, it is called Absalom's Monument." This monument is still there at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It was rebuilt in the days of Herod, but it's still the same place. Verse 19, "Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, 'Let me run now and take the news to the king how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies.' And Joab said to him, 'You shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news because the king's son is dead.'" Why did Joab not want the son of the priest to take this news to David? It's more than just that part of the news was Joab smote Absalom. Let's remember other times when other messengers came to David. One of the times was when the guy came talking about how Saul had been killed, and how did David respond? David killed the guy. And then another time, a messenger came talking about the death of Ishbosheth. And what happened to that messenger? David killed him. So Joab is like, "You know what? You're the son of a priest. I'm not going to send you to David with a message because it might not go that well. So you wait another day." And there does seem to be some recognition in Joab that even though Absalom was an enemy, he was the king's son. And I think it tells a lot about us about how we treat our enemies or how we react to our enemies when we hear that they're going through a tough time or misfortune or something. It tells a lot about us, not about them, but about us. And Jesus actually points this out in the New Testament. He goes, "You know what? Pray for your enemies. Bless them." And you understand bless them. You understand the concept of blessing there? Bless your enemy. Pray and wish them well. That's tough, isn't it? You got to have the supernatural power of God to wish your enemy well. Or when you hear that they're going through a tough time, not to go, "Boy, they really deserve that. I hate it for them, but I'm kind of glad and I saw that coming." You know, there's ways we do that. And we speak our own special language of Christianese, you know. They're just reaping what they're sowing. Verse 21, "Then Joab said to the Cushite, 'Go tell the king what you have seen.' So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran." Verse 22. "Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, 'But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite.' So Joab said, 'Why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready?' Verse 23, 'But whatever happens,' he said, 'let me run.' So he said to him, 'Run.' Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. So you get the picture. This guy's going, hey, let me run, let me run, let me run. And Joab says, you got nothing to say. Well, let me run anyway. And so finally Joab goes, okay, go, run. It's kind of interesting. The man doesn't have a message, but he wants to run. There's a spiritual analogy there. A lot of times when we first get saved, we don't even really know what happened to us, but we try to run and we don't really yet have a message. You know, we just kind of run. Well, I just want to run. Well, you don't really know what you're going to say. Yeah, but I got to run. I got to do something. And it's good for us to sit and get a message before we take off running. Because what we're going to see is when this guy gets to David, he doesn't know what to say. Why? Because he doesn't have a message.
But he's running.
Now, the flip side is some of us have a message and we don't run. So it's important to have a message and to run and to balance that. I think that any church that is not engaged in Bible teaching, it's kind of like this guy. They're running, but they don't really have a message. And that's the life lesson here. It is important to have a message and also to run. It is important to have a message and also to run. Run, but run with a message. Have a message and run with that message, because this guy, he's not going to know what to say when he gets to David. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James says study. Study to present yourself approved unto God. That's what we're doing here tonight, Bible study. Verse 24, now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, there's another man running alone. The king said, he also brings news. Verse 27, so the watchman said, I think the runner of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. So this is the way they got their news around. They sent a message with somebody, and they ran to the next town and gave them the message. And then somebody else took that message and ran again. This is where we got our relay races of modern track. Also, that's how years and years and years ago, there was a guy that ran with the news of victory from Marathon, Greece to Athens, Greece. And he ran the whole way, and it was 26 miles. And after he ran that whole way from Marathon to Athens, to tell the king what was going on, then he died. It's kind of weird that we have marathon races now, because it's like people forgot the end of the story. He ran 26 miles and he died. You know, it's not like, you know, okay, let's all run 26 miles. You know, I don't get that. But if you're a marathon runner, no offense intended, it's just your body goes through serious changes when you do stuff like that.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 28. So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king. Now this is good, because he's given glory to God. I mean, God had used brave men that day who were skilled, but they wanted to give the victory. The brave men wanted to give the glory to God. And life lesson here, it's important that when God uses us to give him the glory. It's important when God uses us to give him the glory. Verse 29, the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. It would seem that this is an untruth. But again, we see he really doesn't have a message. He ran, but really didn't, you know, think about what he was going to say, which is bizarre, because he is running all that way. It seems like he would have figured out what he was going to say when he got there, but apparently he didn't. Verse 30, and the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Verse 31, just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? So the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son, my son. There's certain passages of scripture, and this is one of the sadder verses in the Bible. And I'm not sure that anyone who's not a parent can really understand what David is saying here. I think David wonders, well, it's interesting, because when the baby died, David said, well, I'm going to see him again. There wasn't the deep grief that you see in this verse. And I think David is very much concerned about the soul of Absalom that died in rebellion and perhaps without a knowledge of God. And David is not so sure he's going to see Absalom again. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who's sad over a rebellious child or rebellious children. That's a sadness that goes straight to the soul, straight to the heart. And, you know, you need to continue to ask God to touch that child. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Maybe you're the child and it's your mother or father who's far from God and in rebellion. We'll pray with you. As a matter of fact, let's just pray right now. Let's bow our heads. And if tonight you've got a child who's far from God, who's in rebellion to God, I want to pray with you. And we want to agree in prayer with you. So do me a favor right now. Just raise your hand and say, yes, I've got a child who's far from God. God sees those hands. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, you see those hands. You see the lives that those hands represent. Lord, you see the heart of the mother. You see the heart of the father, that it is extended towards their child. And Lord, you see their heart towards this child, and they would cry out to you tonight, Lord, deal gently. Deal gently with my child. Lord, they've done wrong things. They're in the midst of wrongdoing even now. But Lord, deal gently with them. Be merciful with them as you draw them back to yourself. Lord, we know because we have seen you draw rebellious people to yourself, myself included. Lord, and you will continue to draw people to yourself. And so, Lord, of the people that have their hands raised, Lord, may we hear awesome testimonies about what you've done in their lives going forward from tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to increase the faith of that mother, to continue to increase the faith of that father as they cry out for their child, that their child will come to you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. David's heart was to protect Absalom from the effects of his rebellion, and David couldn't do that. And that's a painful thing to realize as a parent, as you cannot protect your child from the fruit of their rebellion. But let's see something here. Let's understand the heart of David towards Absalom. Maybe we realize the heart of God towards others who are in rebellion or who've gone astray. And may we get a little better, closer glimpse of God's heart towards those. Maybe you're here tonight and you've wandered off a little bit, and maybe you've wandered off a lot, and you're thinking, well, God's just so angry at you. You need to see David in this saying, you know what, deal gently with my child, because that's God's heart towards people. And if you've wandered off, God's hand, God's heart, God's spirit is extended towards you now. You don't have to wait till something bad or horrible happens to come to him. The interesting thing is David's comment says, if only I had died in your place. So we see David's willingness to die for his rebellious child. And we're reminded that not only was Jesus willing to die for his rebellious children, but he died for them in their place while we were yet sinners. That's what the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I read commentaries, and I'm sure some people say, well, Absalom just simply got what he deserved. I give you that. David did not want Absalom to get what he deserved. God, in his mercy, does not want you to get what you deserve. We deserve eternal separation from God. We deserve the full wrath of God on our shoulders for the things that we've done. God doesn't want to give us what we deserve. God, in his mercy, doesn't want to see that on you. And he's done all that he can to keep you from having that upon your shoulders. He gave his son to die for us so that that wouldn't have to happen. life lesson here? The heart of God is filled with mercy, grace, and compassion. The heart of God is filled with mercy, grace, and compassion. What does God want to give you? God wants to give you mercy and forgiveness. And it's interesting because in this story, what happens? This king's son dies because of his rebellion. But don't miss the picture and the parallels, because in the New Testament, what happened? The king's son died because of our rebellion. Jesus never rebelled. Jesus even went to the garden and said, "Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to go to the cross. But not my will, but yours be done." May we weep for those that are still in rebellion against God. May we hear the tears of a brokenhearted father weeping over the children that are astray from him. May we realize our Father in heaven sheds tears for us and for the world in which we live in. David, sitting at the gate waiting, I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told about the man waiting for the prodigal. The father was waiting for the son to come home. He wouldn't have seen him from a long ways off if he wouldn't have been standing there waiting for him. The sad thing is some prodigals may never come home. Still, the father waits. And even tonight, the father's waiting. And again, maybe there's some people in here that have strayed some. And the father would say, "My son died in your place." And I just wonder, as I was looking at this chapter, I just wonder if David's heart at the end of this, and some commentaries and some pastors would condemn his heart at this point, I just wonder if this isn't what God was talking about when he said, "David's a man after my own heart." When David says, "Absalom, I would have died for you, but you wouldn't have it." It's interesting because Ahithophel and Absalom died on trees. Ahithophel hung himself. Absalom in the tree, as we read about tonight. But let's remember, the book of Deuteronomy said anybody that hangs on a tree is cursed. Now again, you look at the life of Ahithophel, you look at the life of Absalom, and you say, well, it's sad, but they kind of decided their fate. But let's remember, Jesus died on a tree. Jesus said, "You know what? I'll take your cursing. I'll hang on a tree for you. I'll die for you. I'll die for your rebellion, for your sins. I'll take them on myself." Galatians chapter 3 says this: "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Don't miss the parallels, because in this story, the son of a king died on a tree for his rebellion. Years later, the son of a king would die on a tree for your rebellion and for my rebellion. And as I look at this, I wonder, as individuals and as churches, who are we like? Are we like David, looking at the world going, "Oh man," weeping for him, having the heart of Paul? You remember Pastor Sunday, Paul looking at it and saying, "You know, I would even be estranged or cut off from Christ if it meant you could come into a knowledge of Jesus." Is that our heart towards the world? Because as I read this chapter, something occurred to me. Sometimes that's not my heart at all. Sometimes, friend, and I think if you're honest, you'll admit this too, I have the heart of Joab. "Oh, there's the sinner hanging on a tree. I'll get him. I'll do the king a favor. I know the king said to deal with him graciously and mercifully, but I'm going to take him out." All too often, I think that describes the church. That's not what God intended. I think God wants us to have the heart of David, because I know my heavenly Father looks out over this world that's so sin-stained and messed up and in rebellion. Guys, this is important. And he weeps. Do we weep when things happen to people that are bad and evil? May the Lord give us his heart for this world. May we weep with those who are in rebellion and are hurting. And may we be much more like David than Joab.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.